I'd like to call the Senate State Affairs Committee meeting to order. Let the record reflect that it's Tuesday, February 13th at 3:31 p.m. We are currently in the Belts Committee Room in Juneau, Alaska. And if you could just please turn off your cell phones for the duration of the meeting. Members present are Senator Klayman, Vice Chair, Senator Merrick, Senator Wilikowski, Senator Bjorkman, myself, Chair Kawasaki. I'd like to thank Savannah Danbert from Senate Records and Shelby Carroll, the moderator with the Legislative Information Office. Today we have a sort of large agenda. We have, first up, we're going to hear Special Senate Concurrent Resolution 5, which is a resolution disapproving Executive Order Number 128 relating to the ADA and AEA boards. We will, if the Senator makes it, bring up Senate Bill 159, which is Alaska Veteran Poppy Day under bills previously heard. And then we will have a first hearing, Senate Bill 195 on State Agency Performance Improvement, and a first hearing on Senate Bill 201, Office of Information Technology, both of which are sponsored by Senator Kaufman, who is here. So first, we're going to go ahead and take up Special Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 5. And may I have a motion from Senator Klayman?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move the Senate State Affairs Committee's consideration of Executive Order 128 relating to the separate membership of the Board of Directors of the Alaska Energy Authority and the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority be reported from committee with individual recommendations. Attach Special Senate Concurrent Resolution 5 on the same subject and attach fiscal note to the Senate for further consideration. This does not reflect an intent by any of the members to vote for or against a special concurrent resolution disapproving this executive order in joint session.
Are there any questions? Oh, well, I guess I'll object. And then, are there any questions or comments on the motion? Okay, hearing none, I'll go ahead and remove my objection to the motion. And motion carries. Next, we were going to take up Senate Bill 159. We'll go ahead and sign later. Next, we're going to go take up Senate Bill 159. There's nobody here. Oh, wait, maybe they are here. Are they? They're not in the room. Okay, we will not take up Senate Bill 159 at this time. We're going to get ahead and move on to Senate Bill 195 relating to state agency performance improvement. We have today Senator James Kaufman, prime sponsor of the bill, and staff to Senator Kaufman, Matthew Harvey. Would you like to come up and present Senate Bill 195 to the committee? If you could just state your name and affiliation for the record. Welcome.
Yes, thank you. I am State Senator James Kaufman, District F, Anchorage, and would like to thank the chair and the committee for hearing our bills today. And let me just refer to my notes. So, just to start, my office often runs performance improvement type bills, trying to standardize and optimize and all that sort of things. And in a previous hearing in this committee, we passed out our bill to create long-term strategic operating plans, and it's now sitting in Senate Finance. So all of these pieces kind of work together, and I believe if we can get them all in place, it'll all help the performance of our operations. So the essence of 195 is that we have a multi-billion dollar operation in the state of Alaska, but we don't really have a coherent continuous improvement quality management plan. So if we were to succeed in passing our Executive Budget Act reform, we would have four-year strategic operating plans updated every 2 years. If we pass this bill, we'll have a more robust performance management process in the state that will help assure that we continually move on to better things. So it's the philosophy of customer focus really is what will drive our improvement processes. When I was in the corporate sector, one of the best corporate initiatives that got pushed to us was customer focus. That was back in the 80s, 90s, the twos, and there was always the the different flavor of the day as far as operating system improvements that was coming through corporate America. But the thing that I felt really nailed it was the customer focus concept, was of knowing, identifying that you have a customer, and you have customers all around you. You have your external customers, which for the state, that's the citizens that interface with us. But internally, we have each other. We have all the state employees that have to do work with each other. And our interface is as the legislative branch with the executive branch. So if we can begin to build a better culture of quality management, continuous improvement, customer focus, many of the problems that we have will start to, I think, slip away. We'll go to a better state of operations. So in researching this bill, we benchmarked other states, as we often do with our bills. What are other folks doing, and how could we either play catch up, steal their good ideas, or do other best practices? And so what we found is that the improvement-oriented function, it ranged from, it could be an individual or it could be a fully built-out office. So when we think of this concept, realize that depending on funding for it, it can be just the beginnings, or it can be very robust as it moves forward. So originally, we were looking at the Office of Performance Improvement, but as the concept and the bill title. But looking at where we're at right now, we have narrowed it down for what we're presenting today to really be just trying to focus on what the Office of Management and Budget is already doing, what they're tasked with, how they operate, and drive some definition into those processes to enable a higher degree of this performance management. So SB 195 has three key provisions. One, and I'm going to just refer to my notes for this, expand the statutory duties of the OMB director to collect and analyze data on the performance of agencies, to advise the governor on matters of improvement of business processes and increasing accountability, and to publish regularly updated progress updates on a website. Next is to empower the Office of Management and Budget to collaborate with state agencies to enhance responsiveness, improve customer service quality, implement cost optimization strategies. And lastly, to establish a framework for state agencies to cooperate fully with the OMB, ensuring timely responses to inquiries and the provision of necessary information for performance evaluation and improvement. All exciting stuff if you're a career quality management professional, as I have been. So while testifying, I have to provide Skits with some material for this year because they did such a good job last year. So the point is, we are, again, a multi-billion-dollar operation. We don't have a performance improvement officer that is dedicated towards driving a continually improving state of operations. If we get the suite of legislation through, we can get on four-year strategic operating plans. We can have somebody that is actually focusing on the continuous improvement of not only those plans, but the performance to those plans, we can begin to have, I believe, a much better run state. And it will be something that when we elect a new CEO every 4 years and they come in, they'll have a better framework to leverage their key goals and objectives. And they'll have someone that is already in the saddle that is helping to drive improvement and working with all the across all agencies as a subject matter expert. And so with that, I'm going to, if there's no questions, I'll defer to my chief of staff, Matthew Harvey, who will go through our sectional and the presentation.
Actually, Senator, I do have a quick question. Thank you very much for the presentation, and thank you for the thoughtful look at the way agency operations work. In some states, there are state controllers or state treasurers. Sometimes they're elected, sometimes they're appointed. In this, you're using sort of existing framework within the Office of Management and Budget to have a person sort of advise the governor on those types of things. Have you thought about creating a new position as opposed to using the existing framework as a director? And then I'll have a follow-up.
Thank you for that question through the chair. It's all a matter of really of cost and scope, and you know we're often struggling for funds to do things, and I think the most important thing is to take the first step. And so if at some point we were in a position where we could you know have a more robust position doing that, that would be good. But I think at you know at this point, if we can do what we can do to at least get started, I think that that would be a benefit. But again, as we deliberate on this bill, the committee can we can explore you know other issues or other avenues of delivering this performance improvement management.
Thank you, Senator Kaufman. And I guess just the other question had to do with I think you brought up sort of one article which I'm a little bit worried about is that an OMB director currently is not it's an appointed position. It's a fairly high level position too. You're increasing the scope in which an OMB director has within the executive branch agencies, but then but they're not subject to confirmation of the legislature. I'm just curious if you had any thoughts on that particular action. And then finally, just if you can answer also the question in the same breath about how this OMB director, whose job is to sort of administer and collect data, transcends each agency or each administration.
Thank you. Through the chair, the expansion, again, we hadn't really considered. Let me make sure I hit all these questions, so check me at the end of it. But again, the concept was just to begin to reshape our existing asset. But again, we could explore anything that we could afford in terms of a better way to do this. But in the end, the fiscal constraints will, I suspect, keep us from doing anything too dramatic. But I believe that by like further refining these roles and accountabilities with existing assets that we can perhaps drive a better product.
Great. Thank you, Senator Kaufman. Are there further questions of the sponsor of the bill before we go on to a reading of the sectional? Okay. Hearing none, we have Matthew Harvey, staff to Senator Kaufman. Welcome, Mr. Harvey.
Thank you, Chair Kawasaki, members of the Senate State Affairs Committee. For the record, my name is Matthew Harvey, staff to Senator Kaufman. Starting off the sectional and section one, powers and duties of the OMB director are expanded to include advising the governor on improving state agency business processes and enhancing government accountability, collecting and analyzing data to identify areas for state agency performance improvement, and regularly publishing updates on state agency progress, strategic plans, and performance on the Office of the Governor's website. Section 2 adds to functions and duties of OMB. The functions and duties of OMB are expanded to include collaborating with state agencies to enhance their responsiveness and improve the quality of customer service, with an emphasis on providing prompt and positive responses, conducting regular reviews of state agency procedures and regulations to ensure their efficiency and effectiveness, advocating for the adoption of process improvement strategies within state agencies to increase efficiency and responsiveness to the public, supporting state agencies in implementing cost optimization strategies to ensure optimal operations and cost efficiency, assisting state agencies in implementing recommendations from the Legislative Audit Division's reports to eliminate duplication, fraud, and waste, providing policymakers and the public with accurate and timely data concerning the effectiveness and cost effectiveness of state agencies' services, coordinating with and advising state agencies in the development of their strategic and performance plans, monitoring and evaluating state agencies' progress in completing strategic and performance plans, providing a forum for the exchange of ideas to continually enhance the delivery of government services. Section 3 is related to cooperation of state agencies with OMB. This is a new section added requiring state agency cooperation with OMB, mandating state agencies to cooperate with the OMB director and promptly respond to inquiries made by the director. Agencies must provide requested information that pertains to the functions and duties of OMB as specified in Alaska Statute 4419-145. Agencies are required to make their commissioner or another designated agency leader available for consultation with the Office of Management and Budget. And Section 4, two new definitions are added to AS 4419-152. And those definitions are for performance, which would be the ability of a state agency to achieve its objectives and deliver products or services efficiently to both internal and external customers of the products or services. And state agency in this bill means a section or a department, institution, board, commission, division, authority, public corporation, committee, or other administrative unit, the executive branch of government. And Section 5 adds an effective date of January 1st, 2025.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Harvey. Are there questions for Mr. Harvey?
Yep. Thank you, Senator Klayman.
This is actually for the bill sponsor, Senator Kaufman. I guess I think you acknowledge that we sometimes struggle getting our agencies to do even what they're currently expected to do and required to do. And I think we're very much aware of recruiting and retention issues. At some level, it feels like this legislation would add to their list of duties, and it often feels to me as a legislator that they can't keep up with the duties they currently have. I mean, how does adding to the list help get things done?
Thank you. Through the chair to Senator Klayman. Well, some of what's being added to the list, if you notice, like under the definitions, we had to add definition of performance. So until we do this, we don't even know what performance is. And so there's some basic structures that don't necessarily drive more work. But what we're trying to do, because we're very conscious of budget, of cost. And so what we're trying to do is just slip some tools, some definitions, some roles and responsibilities to just codify some of what is already going on, but then just give it enough definition and enough teeth to maybe be a little bit more effective. And so there are things here that can be absorbed, we believe, and we don't believe it'll be burdensome. But if we enable with the language that we put in statute, we may be able to get leverage, the existing resources to deliver a little bit more on this possibility.
Yeah. Senator Klayman.
And I think in your earlier comments, you talked about it. Kind of every 2 years you have an updated plan. I don't see any specifics in terms of how frequently plans get rolled out or not rolled out in the legislation. Is that intentional? Or am I just missing something?
Matthew, do you?
Through the chair, Senator Klayman, I believe that was in the introductory comments, I believe a reference to other improvement legislation we've carried. Just a note on how this could provide some of the definitions and structures along with other pieces of legislation that might be able to help. This does not have any requirements for submission of plans or those other requirements.
Thank you.
Save as through the chair.
Thank you, Senator Kaufman. Mr. Harvey, are there further questions of the sponsor of the bill or his staff, Mr. Harvey, at this time? Hearing none, we will set Senate Bill 195 away for a separate hearing. I know that we anticipated hearing from somebody from the Office of Internet Technology, and I think we still want to do that. And maybe since this bill applies specifically to the agency, Office of Management and Budget, it might be good to have just somebody from there so that we can speak to them in the future meeting. Senator Kaufman, do you have any final questions or words?
No, through the chair, I think that would be great. I think there was a scheduling conflict, but I think it would be great to have their participation. Thank you.
Great. Okay, with that, we'll go ahead and set Senate Bill 195 aside and take a brief at ease to hear Senate Bill 159. I'd like to call the Senate State Affairs Committee meeting back to order. The time now is 3:52 p.m. We are now going to go ahead and take up Senate Bill 159, Alaska Veteran Poppy Day, under bills previously heard. We have the sponsor here as well as staff to the sponsor. And I wanted to see if either of you had any comments to make before we make a motion.
I just want to say, thank you, Mr. Chair. This is Senator Forrest Dunbar for the record. Just want to say thank you. I think this is an opportunity for the legislature and the people of Alaska to acknowledge the service members that have given their lives for this country by designating the Friday before Memorial Day as Veterans Poppies Day. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Are there any further comments? Senator Merrick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Senate Bill 159, Work Draft 33-LS0925/S Sierra be moved out of committee with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal note.
Are there any objections to moving Senate Bill 159? Okay. Hearing none, Senate Bill 159, Alaska Veteran Poppy Day, moves from committee with individual recommendations and the accompanying fiscal note. We will take a brief at ease to sign the paperwork. I'd like to call the meeting of the Senate State Affairs Committee to order. The time now is 3:54 p.m. We're now going to take up Senate Bill 201 relating to the Office of Information Technology, also sponsored by Senator Kaufman. If Senator Kaufman and Mr. Matthew Harvey would like to come up to present Senate Bill 201 to the committee.
Thank you, Ms. Chair. For the record, I'm State Senator James Kaufman, Senate District F, Anchorage. I'd like to thank the committee and the chair for hearing this bill today. And the background on this bill is in a previous life working in engineering and construction companies, we were organized in a functional matrix type organization where the business had the expertise. It was available to assist project teams with a little technical difficulties here. All right, so thank you. So in a previous life, I experienced working in what was referred to as a functional organization, which was nice. It was better than a dysfunctional organization. But the design of that is where the expertise is built into the organization, but not maybe deployed or parked within the shape of the organization where the work is being done. And so as we looked at how we could improve our technology projects, we started to look at how we could, again, take existing resources, codify what they're doing, and begin to drive a bit better performance out of those resources, specifically with how we manage information technology projects. And so the genesis of where we're at right now with the existing resources, Mr. Harvey will go into, he'll go into a little bit of history as he's going through the presentation. But the opportunity is to create an enterprise project management office, which from a central perspective looks at the IT projects that are going on, helps assure that they're driving value, that they're being managed in a way that they're scoped, that they're not duplicating or somehow overlapping other efforts, and just bring coherency to what we're doing in IT. Because at a high level these days, our primary interfaces with government or some businesses, so much of it is online or on a computer, a tablet, and the degree to which those projects actually turn out to deliver a good website, good back office experience, things that help drive our experience with an entity, that's really what enables us to interface with the organization. So what we're trying to do with SB 201 is to move forward to fight back from where we're at right now, which basically we're dead last. We're matched up with Wyoming based upon a survey, a biennial survey that was done of all 50 states, and we came out at the bottom, so we want to move from that. The low score is attributed to the typical things that we see, where we don't really have a coherent and organized approach to things. We have gaps in capability or in the exposure of other sections of the executive branch to the best practices, so we can standardize that and level it out. But where we're at right now was really created by an administrative order, so sort of an executive order that created the current Office of Information Technology, which was a fair attempt to kind of scoop things up, pull them together, and get them functioning as a group. But the opportunity that we have is to further codify that, standardize it, get it into statute, and again, just as with the other bill we were discussing, create some definitions that help drive performance. And again, we have internal, external customers that we have to try to satisfy, and we have some pretty big failures there, as we've all seen with some of our information technology programs. So that includes issues with SNAP backlogs, the professional licensing, permitting. Many of those things have ended up being front and center, hot ticket items that we're trying to fix or need to fund. So effective management of those projects, the opportunity there is to find the efficiencies and find the standardization and avoid duplication, gaps, overlap, the things that can create a poor experience. It's not unusual to hear of IT projects that go into cost overruns, or somehow the result of what comes out of that project is not quite what one would expect or want. So if we pass SB 201, we'll be signaling that we're in the legislature, we're serious, we recognize the need, the challenge, and we're starting to step up by placing into statute the things that would frame out what this Office of Information Technology would look like as a statutorily enabled operation that's there in the state to help move forward these projects. It would empower the chief information officer to oversee IT projects, ensuring that investments align with executive strategy, adhere to best practices, and are reported using consistent metrics. So this is where the 201 biennial plans come in, and so to document IT requirements and biennial IT plans, and that will strengthen the public awareness, the legislature's awareness of what's ongoing in the information technology project management realm. And so passing this bill will not only address our unique challenges, but will also improve our cost effectiveness, create a more efficient and customer-driven IT landscape, enable state government recruitment from remote communities. I don't want to brush past that. We're doing a lot of broadband build-out. As we continue to build out the broadband that will connect our citizens, our communities in remote areas, if we're connecting them to state internet facilities, a network that really works and functions, it's very efficient, you can navigate through it, it's well designed, that's going to enable workforce development from remote areas. It's going to maybe perhaps solve some of our staffing problems, because you take people that are at a distance, you connect them with broadband, and now you start to have a state that has driven improvement projects in its IT infrastructure within our state operations. Now you're starting to have the ability for some of that flexible work hours that we've heard about that people want to do, or remote, so that you can log in and you can process things that need to be processed no matter where you live if you start to have that. So for the state of Alaska, the fastest travel we have around the state is digital, and if we can improve that infrastructure, combine what we're try and do in this bill of improving how the state websites and the state IT projects function with the broadband that we're beginning to deploy across the entire state and remote areas, you start to have that synergy of the two actions that we could take coming together and solving some of our other problems around workforce development. So I want to thank you for considering the bill. I'm going to hand off to my chief of staff, Matthew Harvey, for the presentation, and the and then after that we'll have the sectional. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Senator Kaufman. Are there any questions before we move to Mr. Harvey? Seeing and hearing none, welcome to the committee once again, Mr. Harvey.
Thank you, Chair Kawasaki, members of the Senate State Affairs Committee. For the record, my name is Matthew Harvey, staff to Senator Kaufman. And as mentioned, this SB 201, establishing the Office of Information Technology with a focus on Enterprise Project Management Office. A little background, as mentioned, into Alaska's IT landscape. In the 1970s and 80s, there was an article added to Alaska Statute Section 44.21, and that added automatic data processing requirements to the Department of Administration's responsibilities. And this resulted in the creation of a new division, the Division of Enterprise Technology Services, and more things were added over time, kind of piecemeal and in different areas of the organization. Administrative Order 284 by Governor Bill Walker in 2017 merged the Division of Enterprise Technology Services along with some of the other pieces that had been built up over time into the current Office of Information Technology. The next administrative action was Administrative Order 314 by Governor Dunleavy in 2020, and that improved data sharing capabilities across agencies. In 2019-2020, the APEX program, Back Office Improvement Initiative in the Department of Administration, was launched. And one of the pieces of this was an effort to consolidate and improve IT, and another piece of it was focused on procurement. But, with respect to IT, there was a lot of a consultant hired and a bunch of work done looking at how to consolidate IT functions and what would be needed in order to improve the organizational maturity of our IT department and overall improve the effectiveness of our IT group. Then the most recent news that we've gotten out of IT is a January press release from the governor's office, and that described Alaska's transition of over 700 applications to the cloud without disrupting services to Alaskans. One of the points there is transitioning off of old mainframe systems into the cloud, an internal enterprise-wide project, and an area in which, you know, in the future PMO may be able to help guide or manage. Again, as mentioned in the introductory statements of why we need to focus on IT, at the time of past legislative or administrative order action related to IT systems, technology was not where it is today, and it's quickly evolving, as this committee has heard in other hearings. We believe it's hard to rely solely on administrative orders and budget changes with regards to IT as an operation. Alaska's had numerous issues, including SNAP backlogs, professional licensing wait times, in which IT systems have been a contributing factor, with capital projects, as an example, in the Department of Health going towards efforts to reduce SNAP backlogs now and in the future. And all organizations, public, private, of all sizes, struggle with technology and legacy apps. Just with the move to the cloud, integrating AI into process improvements and technology moving at the speed of technology. Senate Bill 201 defines the Office of Information Technology in statute. It specifically creates indirectly, I guess, through language, an enterprise project management office for IT projects within the Office of Information Technology. This would provide centralized oversight, which would improve investment decision-making consistency, integration and optimization of projects. Really briefly, what is an Enterprise Project Management Office? An EPMO, for short, serves as the strategic hub for managing IT projects as an organization or across an organization. And in other words, as a mission control for the State Chief Information Officer, providing a comprehensive view of technology investments and projects, and ensuring that technology investments align with the organization's objectives. The EPMO operates at a strategic level, ensuring alignment between IT projects and objectives, rather than a tactical project-based or project-specific level. It offers project guidance and, at times, project management, governance, standardized processes, and best practices to optimize project portfolio management, managing all the project IT projects as a group and having an understanding of which projects work together to achieve certain objectives. Ultimately, the EPMO plays a crucial role in driving successful project outcomes and advancing the organization's mission in our current digital age. And that's the end of the presentation. I can present also really briefly some things which are currently missing from the bill, which we've discussed, kind of touched on in the history. Is the administrative order issued by Bill Walker had a lot of operations responsibilities for the Office of Information Technology. Currently, the way the bill is written, it's very focused on project management, EPMO side of things. So that's one area of improvement. And another in discussions with OIT might be exceptions, but I'm sure we can discuss those in the section or at a later time.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Harvey. Are there questions of the sponsor or staff at this point? Okay, hearing and seeing none, we'll go ahead and if you could just run us through maybe quickly through the sectional.
Absolutely, yeah. Section 1 of SB 201 adds a new article, and the bulk of the bill is in Section 1, and this adds a new article to the Department of Administration's section of statute. The first section codifies OIT within DOT or within DOA and names the director of the office as the chief information officer. The next section is duties of OIT and the CIO's responsibilities. In duties of OIT, it's developing and implementing standardized project management processes for IT projects, managing IT projects using those processes, and ensuring both major and minor IT projects both meet the requirements and follow established processes. The last duty in the bill is to establish procedures to reduce change requests to these projects. The Chief Information Officer's responsibilities are to review, approve, or reject, and monitor state agency IT projects undertaken by state agencies. In there, it notes that the CIO may approve IT projects that conform to procedures and policies, do not duplicate existing capabilities, conform to procurement rules and policies, and for which sufficient funds are available. The CIO will ensure IT project requirements are documented in the biennial IT plans, and if the biennial plans change, report new project and funding requirements to the Office of Management and Budget. And it provides CIO with the authority to adopt regulations as deemed necessary. The next section deals with approval, suspension, and cancellation of projects, noting that state agencies may not initiate IT projects without approval from the CIO, and a rejection must be in writing with reasons specified. The CIO may suspend or cancel IT projects that fail to meet applicable quality standards, be it processes or investment decision criteria. Agencies can request the review, a review by the governor within 15 business days if the CIO rejects, suspends, or cancels a project. The governor has 30 days to respond with a decision to affirm, reverse, modify, or remand the CIO's decision. Contracts with private entities must include provisions for vendor performance review, suspension, or termination of a contract. Excuse me. The CIO may require performance bonds, penalties, or other measures in case a project is over budget or completed late. And the CIO may also use realized cost savings as performance incentives for vendors' contract language. The next section deals with the project management. The CIO shall establish standardized documentation requirements, project manager standards, and performance measures for project reporting. Ensure the project reports will be available on a public website. The CIO must establish a standardized project management process, including timelines, reporting requirements, and post-completion monitoring of the project. And Further in the definition section, there's a clear distinction between major information technology projects and minor IT projects. So for major information technology projects, the CIO will designate a project manager from OIT who she'll select qualified personnel to participate in project activities, and the project manager will provide reports including business requirements, applicable laws and regulations, costs, issues, training, project projected and actual completion dates, and any other relevant information. A note that for major IT projects, a CIO may require agencies to engage private counsel or subject matter experts. And for minor IT projects, the relevant state agencies shall provide a project manager, meeting CIO's established standards. A project management assistant from OIT will advise on all minor IT projects, and specifically on the front-end planning. The next section notes that the CIO shall establish standards for purchasing hardware and software that align with procurement code. And then there are a number of definitions in the sectional. Section 2 is a transition section stating that the Department of Administration shall adopt necessary regulations effective immediately. The effective immediately part is Section 3. And then Section 4 notes that all other sections of the bill take place January 1st of next year.
Great. Fantastic, Mr. Harvey. Are there questions for the sponsor of the bill or Mr. Harvey this time? I guess I sort of do have a question just on the, and I didn't read the specific, but you were talking about the director rejecting specific projects within other state agencies. Would that mean say the Department of Health and Social Services I can't remember what's their system called, whatever their new health system is called for billing, decide that they go through that process and they've gone through procurement already. What if I guess it says that the director could reject the proposed project. Would that be what you're meaning, is that the director would look at that project and say, that's not something that we should undertake?
To the chair and for the record, Matthew Harvey, staff to Senator Kaufman. In the specific language, there are a few kind of at least guidelines for suspension, cancellation, or rejection of a project. And that's another reason why we wanted to add in an appeals process, because the copy of the rejection request would be sent to the agency, OMB, and if that's something that aligns with the organization's priorities, and a budget will be made available for it, and an exception can be made to project processes, or depending on the reason for rejection or cancellation. I don't believe that the Office of Information Technology will or should be rejecting those projects based on any policy decisions, more so based on project process or redundancies or outdated or non-standardized technology being used.
Thank you for that answer. I guess it doesn't really say that in the text. It could be that a director prefers Apple operating system to, to DOS or whatever, any other operating systems. And I guess that's just a comment more than anything. Are there questions for the sponsor of the bill or Mr. Harvey at this time? Do you have any final statements before we set Senate Bill 201 aside?
Thank you. Through the chair, first say thanks again for hearing a couple of our bills today. Performance opportunities that I think we've identified. At one point, I was an internal consultant that was consulting on 30 different projects, portfolio management of 30 different small projects. Now, these were projects up on the North Slope, and they were all in different stages. But by having that engagement, I was able to, I knew what technologies each one was using, what vendors, what sources of supply, the standards that they were working to. So I was somebody that could come to each one of those small projects and knowing what the big picture looked like. So as I was consulting and advising them on my subject matter at that point was quality management, and some, you know, vendor procurement type issues and construction techniques and things like that. I came in with those resources that I could help inform people that were working in the trenches of what was going on next door with another project. And that my engagement was part of a very organized process of being sure that you had deployed assets to the individuals that were doing the work out at the work front, wherever that might be in the office or out in the field, that understood what the big picture looked like in terms of standardization of processes and planning and all of that. And what the people, you know, found is I was there during the development and deployment of that process, that at first is, why is Big Brother coming in to change what we're doing? But what it ended up becoming is where they're thankful that they have resources, people that can come in and help them and engage at the right level of engagement to help them deliver their projects efficiently and on time and under budget. So thank you very much for hearing this. Sure appreciate it.
Great. Are there any other questions of the sponsor of the bill? Okay. Hearing none, we will set Senate Bill 201 aside for a future hearing. That concludes the meeting today of the Senate State Affairs Committee. The next meeting is scheduled for Thursday, February 15th, where we will hear bills previously heard or scheduled. I anticipate we will not have a meeting on Thursday, February 15th, but we will keep that on the calendar until Wednesday's floor session, or Thursday's floor session. At this time, the Senate State Affairs Committee meeting is adjourned. Let the record reflect the time is now 4:19.